Chapter 15. Apparently, Ken had allowed Porsche full phone privileges. This made Che very happy. A happy Che was Kim's favorite thing on this miserable planet. So, he did not drive to the compound and stomp the phone into tiny bits.
Kim, are you listening to me?
No matter how tempting it was. Kim had his phone balanced in the crook of his shoulder as he wandered around his apartment. Unfortunately.
You should see him.
Porsche's voice curled warm and besotted around the words.
Ken is on the fucking warpath. He's killed two of the suppressant sellers who refused to fall in line and scared the others so bad they haven't uttered a word.
Don't talk about my brother in that tone of voice, Kim said, to hide how the words made him feel. Ken's defense of his pack could be a heady feeling.
I can't help it,
Porsche whined.
You're not here. You can't possibly know. He's being so protective. I swear he hasn't let me out of his sight. He's gonna text you today. Just watch.
I don't care.
Liar,
Porsche sang. Kim hung up on him. Of course, because this was Kim's life now, his brother texted him that afternoon. From Ken.
Hello. Do you need anything?
No.
I mean it.
I'm fine. The typing bubbles came and went, came and went. Kim could imagine how Ken's instincts must be flaring, dealing with the aftermath of what had happened to Vegas. Kim's revelations last week probably hadn't helped, either. Ken.
Okay.
It had been so long since Kim had cared for his pack like this. He wasn't good at it. Killing for them had been a lot easier to navigate. Before Kim could think better of it, he sent another message.
Haven't eaten lunch. Do you still like mangoes?
Yeah.
I will send some to your apartment. Don't skip lunch, Kim.
So send me a box of mangoes and I won't.
Only one box? Who do you think we are?
The wave of fondness that swept through him was too much to bear. Having a pack was excruciating. He hated it. If anyone tried to take them away, he would burn Bangkok to the ground. A picture came in from Porsche. It showed Ken looking at his phone with a soft, satisfied smile. From Porsche.
Told you.
Are you trying to mess with me?
I'm trying to promote brotherly unity! Pack unity! Omega unity!
But yeah, lol. Kissy face emoji. See you tomorrow.
It had made sense to have this meeting at the Kitasawat house. Most of their pack had been there already, and Kim's daily sweeps ensured the house remained free of surveillance. From everything they could gather, Korn seemed to be treating his son's involvement with the Kitasawats with careless indulgence. And Kim, at least, had the thin veneer of his father's ongoing mission to hide why his GPS was at Che's house so much. Kim hadn't told anyone about that particular piece of this story. He told himself that it was because it didn't matter anymore. Whatever Korn's plans for Che had been, they were irrelevant now.
P-Kim, you can't throw your jacket on the couch. I just cleaned in there. Move, move!
Che, it turned out, was an extremely anxious host. He was running around the Kitasawa house with a trash can in one hand and a dustpan in the other, red-cheeked and vibrating. It was adorable.
It's not like Kin hasn't been here before, Kim offered.
It's our pack, P-Kim. We have to make a good impression, especially since your cousin is... Oh no! P-Kim! Oh no!
Kim reacted to the distress in Che's scent and voice, crowding him into the nearest corner while checking all the points of entry to the room.
What? What is wrong?
I never bought a mop! Che wailed. How can I clean the floors if I don't have a mop?
Kim slumped against the wall and willed his heartbeat back under control.
You know what?
He gently pried the things out of Che's hands and set them on the ground.
That's enough cleaning.
But
nothing.
Kim put his hands on Che's shoulders and modeled what a deep breath looked like, because Che had clearly forgotten. Che tried to follow him and only partly succeeded.
Everything is going to go fine.
It's just that this is so important, Che rambled, rapid fire. What if I mess it up because I didn't make everything perfect? Or what if Kun Vegas wants a drink that we don't have and storms out? The plane would be ruined and everyone would die, all because of a stupid drink. I should have bought that banana milk.
Hey, breathe.
Kim brought their foreheads together.
Breathe, Che.
Che breathed out shakily and nuzzled into Kim.
What if your cousin doesn't like me? He said in a small voice. He's your pack Omega.
Only technically. And Vegas doesn't like anyone, so don't worry about it. The house is fine. I'm fine. Porsche is fine.
Pekin and Pekun are fine, Che said, finishing his mantra. He took a deep breath of Kim's scent, and it didn't tremble on the exhale. Okay, yeah. Everything's going to be fine.
Kim stayed like that until Che calmed. And he did calm, unwinding from that fever pitch of anxiety. It still surprised Kim every time it worked. When Che pulled away from Kim, his smile was so bright that Kim was momentarily stunned. Kim cleared his throat.
What?
Che smiled helplessly at him.
I'm just so glad you're here with me. You make everything better.
Oh, Kim said, with wretched awkwardness. Cool.
Che burst out laughing.
Cool,
he echoed back, sticking out his tongue.
Whatever.
Che sparkled at him. The teasing probably would have continued, but they were interrupted by a knock at the front door. Che perked up with painful eagerness.
Is it him?
No one should be this excited to see Vegas, Kim grumbled, and went to open the door.
His cousin looked much better than the last time they'd seen each other, but Kim's greeting still died in his throat when he saw him. Vegas was wearing one of his typical silk shirts that left his neck and half his chest exposed. And right over his scent gland, for all the world to see, was a fresh mating bite.
Well, fuck.
Kim had texted Vegas to invite him to this meeting, but his cousin hadn't mentioned this particular outcome of his forced heat. Kim expected Vegas to smirk or say something sarcastic, but he didn't. He just raised a shoulder in a weird kind of half-shrug. And now that Kim was looking more closely, he could see the cracks. Vegas had dark circles under his eyes, and even his makeup skills couldn't quite hide the bruising on his face. He stood gingerly, like there were more bruises under his clothes.
Fuck, Kim said again, running his hand through his hair. Okay, then. Come in.
Vegas mustered up a sneer that lifted Kim's heart a little bit. Were you raised in a barn, or are you just actively suicidal? You can't just invite someone into an alpha's territory.
It's Che's territory. He doesn't care about that shit.
Your funeral. The way Vegas followed him inside would have looked confident to anyone else, but Kim could see the caution in it. He'd shifted into his public Omega persona, submission in his posture and a demure smile on his face. Kim wanted to say that he didn't have to do that here, but he knew Vegas wouldn't believe it. Kim barely believed it most days. When they walked into the main room, it was full of sunlight and a cross breeze from the open windows. It looked like a home. It smelled fresh, like a place someone could rest. Vegas's sharp eyes took it all in, snapping immediately to a figure on the floor. Che was kneeling to brush some tiny specks of dirt into the dustpan.
I said no more cleaning, Kim said. I'm sorry. I saw the dirt and I just had to.
Che gave him his best puppy dog eyes, and Kim decided to let it go. Not because of the eyes, because of different, logical reasons.
This is Vegas, Kim said, as if Che didn't know that. And this is poor Che.
As if Vegas didn't know that as well. Vegas started to bend into a doubtlessly charming bow, but Che got there first.
It's so nice to meet you, Kun Vegas, he said, looking up at Vegas and giving him that beaming smile.
And then, Kim's absolutely deranged alpha boyfriend folded himself into a deep bow while still on his knees. They could see the back of his neck, bared and exposed. Kim had the intense satisfaction of watching Vegas's mouth quite literally drop open in surprise before he caught himself a second later. He'd never seen his cousin so shocked. Che was truly pulling out all the stops to make Vegas feel in control. It had taken ages for Kim to realize just how many of his little gestures were intentional. It was the sweetest kind of manipulation Kim had ever experienced. Fuck. Che was so amazing.
Can I get you anything to drink? Che continued as he straightened.
You probably like banana milk, because that's how my life goes. Vegas was thrown enough to say,
banana milk?
I knew it, Che hissed under his breath, and then scrambled up.
Give me a second, I can go to...
Kim snagged the back of his shirt before he could run out of the door.
No.
Che gestured to Vegas in a way he clearly thought was subtle. He'll take water, Kim said flatly. He gave Che a little push into the kitchen. Get him a glass, and cut up some of Kim's goddamn mangoes while you're in there. Having a helpful task always made Che relax.
Okay, P-Kim, he said with relief.
Thanks. Vegas was watching. Kim knew the kind of alpha he expected Che to be, because Kim had had the same expectations. Kim remembered what it had felt like to walk into this house for the first time. He wanted to show his Pack Omega what it could be like with the right person. Maybe Pete could be the right person for Vegas, whatever that looked like for them.
Make me some tea, too, Kim all but ordered. The kind I like.
Sure, no problem.
Besides, Kim was enjoying showing off. Che squeezed Kim's shoulder, gave Vegas another nervous little bow, and bustled into the kitchen. As soon as he was gone, Vegas swung around and stared at Kim. Kim made a show of nonchalance, but he couldn't stop the wild surge of pride that burned through him.
So, that's Che.
explains Porsche.
Yeah.
Porsche is the normal one.
Yeah, Kim said, heartfelt.
God. Vegas honestly looked a little freaked out. He was off his game, which was fair. It was especially fair, considering he had a new mark and no mate beside him. Kim couldn't imagine how terrible that must feel. Kim jerked his head to Vegas's neck.
You all right?
Vegas slanted him a look. Right. Obviously not. Kim thought about all the other questions he could ask. And then he thought about actually receiving answers and decided that, nope, he simply was not a good enough person to suffer through that story. That could be Porsche's job. How do you... Vegas's voice cut off, which was so uncharacteristic that Kim focused again. Vegas's voice lowered. When you're with that sweet little alpha of yours, how do you keep your omega under control? Kim hadn't thought about it like that in a while. Maybe not since his late-night conversation with Porsche. Definitely not since he'd come home to Che and learned what he sounded like when he came.
I don't.
Kim's eyes strayed to the kitchen, where he could hear Che clattering around.
It's better.
Vegas made a face. A few months ago, Kim wouldn't have believed himself either. They both were distracted by the sound of a motorcycle outside. Vegas stiffened, tension screaming from his posture.
You promised to play nice, Kim reminded.
Vegas firmed up his smirk.
That's what you took away from our text exchange?
Cute.
Vegas.
Relax. Just because I want to see Kim die screaming doesn't mean I'm going to make it happen today.
Oh, this was going to go great.
Kim and Porsche entered the house, cheerfully sniping at each other. More like the rich boy who can't cook a decent meal to save his life, Porsche was saying.
You ate the bacon carbonara,
Kim pointed out. I'm not decent, though. Oh. Porsche entered the living room and saw them there. Ah. Hey. Kim nodded to both of them. Porsche. Vegas slipped on that cruel, aloof mask he wore so well. Kim.
Vegas.
They lapsed into silence.
Yeah. Going great.
Thankfully, at that moment, Che appeared, carrying a tray with their drinks and a bowl of sliced mango. Hi, Kim. Kim thawed enough to smile at him. Hee-yah! That was all the warning Che gave, before literally jumping into Porsche's arms. Porsche, with the expertise of long practice, caught him.
House looks great, Nong.
Che wiggled with delight. Kim could totally catch Che if he jumped at him like that. Kim cleared his throat.
Vegas, he said again. Thank you for agreeing to meet.
Vegas turned that smirk on Kim, and he knew what was coming before Vegas even said,
My pup texted me.
Kim rolled his eyes. Kim obviously held himself back from saying something offensively possessive, keeping himself under control in a way that gave Kim actual hope for this venture. Porsche laughed uncomfortably. Che, however, looked absolutely delighted. He sent Vegas a look of such warm approval that the man twitched.
Ha. I'm trusting your own sense of self-preservation to stop you from running to our fathers about this,
Kim said, sharper than before.
But if you do, I will stop you.
You'd certainly try, Vegas said back, all silk-covered steel.
can, Porsche reprimanded gently. He's not going to. Porsche was clearly torn between his loyalties to Pete, Ken, and that fragile sense of Omega togetherness that had blossomed between the three of them. The fact that he had his arm still slung around Che's shoulders seemed to be tipping him towards his Omega instincts.
Vegas, you can get your pills now, right?
Yes. Vegas had to know what Ken had done to make that happen. Everyone in their circles was talking about it. The Thirapanyakul heir shedding blood for his pack Omega. It had to be one of the reasons he'd agreed to this meeting in the first place. Vegas batted his eyelashes at Ken.
I'd be happy to get on my knees and thank you, but I doubt your boyfriend would like that very much. Comparisons can be so damaging to the ego.
Hey, Porsche protested mildly.
No thanks, but I'll be sure to mention your offer to Pete, Ken said, bringing an automatic rifle to a knife fight.
Vegas's smile turned lethal.
You're already holding him as a pawn in this game. What's another move? So much like your father.
Okay now, Porsche attempted.
I am not, Ken said tightly, like my father.
No, Vegas mused. And yet I seem to recall you toasting the downfall of the Russian syndicate, while I spent that night scraping your little brother off his bathroom floor.
Vegas turned solicitously to Kim.
Did you ever get the blood out of the tiles, Pop?
Quit it, Kim warned.
But the damage was done. Ken had gone white with rage. No one could get under his skin quite like Vegas, and he was rapidly losing the fight to control his scent.
You knew?
Vegas bared his teeth in an unpleasant laugh.
Oh, Ken, you were the only one who didn't.
Porsche clamped an arm on Ken's shoulder and nudged Che behind him. This isn't what we're here to talk about. But Vegas wasn't done. There was a genuine protective anger in his scent that made Kim feel a certain kind of way.
All those years of sitting across from you in meetings, watching you think your family was so much better than mine, so much cleaner. Well, at least when my father pimped me out, he was honest about it.
Ken snarled. Porsche locked an arm around his waist, holding him back. Kim hissed uselessly, watching his idea fall apart before it had even started. Thank you, Kun Vegas. Che's voice cut through the seething room in a sweet, clear note. All eyes turned to him. Che slipped to Vegas's side, ignoring Kin and Porsche's protests, and made himself small and non-threatening. He looked up into Vegas's eyes with wholehearted sincerity.
Thank you for helping P. Kim when we couldn't. We all love him too.
Che didn't give them time to recover from dropping the word love in a Thirapanyakul family discussion. He pivoted to pout theatrically at Kim.
Someone didn't tell me he had a Hia all this time. How could you, Pete Kim?
Che widened his eyes at Kim. His familiar scent beckoned, asking Kim to follow his lead. Kim trusted Che more than anyone else in the world, so he brought himself into harmony with Che's tune, like a perfectly executed key change.
I didn't tell you because he's an asshole. Also, he's not my Hia.
Ay, so rude, Che scolded. I bet you've never even thanked him.
I've punched him in the face a few times, Kim offered.
P. Kim, I adore you, but that is troubling. Quinn Vegas, don't take it personally, okay? Che clapped his hands together. I know! I'll be your pup while P. Kim is being grumpy. Che couldn't have picked a better thing to say to change the dynamic of the room. Everyone here was weak for pups, or weak for little brothers, or both. Che was the same age as Macau, who Vegas loved desperately. Porsche accepted Che's allies as his own. And Kin would hesitate to pick a fight with someone Che had publicly sided with, lest he face Porsche's wrath. It was a perfect move. Kim wanted to pin Che against the wall and make out with him about it. Che was still chatting away. Hey, do you like noodles? We could go for noodles and bring P. Kim. Vegas glanced at the watching crowd, and whatever he saw on all their faces made him turn smug. Sure, let's do it. We're not doing that, Kim said, because that was his part in this little skit. Che has terrible taste in restaurants. Che looked indignantly at him. Just for that, you get to eat mangoes last. Here, Vegas, do you want mangoes? Vegas was nothing if not adaptable. He switched his masks like a pro, putting on something benevolent. Thanks, pup. All right, Menace, you've made your point. Porsche snagged Che's belt loop and towed him out of the room.
I wasn't done!
Oh, you're done!
Bye here, Vegas,
Che called, before the back door closed. Before any of them could fuck up Che's hard work, Kim said, We're taking the pack. Vegas studied Kim with a complicated emotion in his eyes that all his pretend nonchalance couldn't hide. You do realize you're proposing murdering your father, right? Use whatever words you want, but the only way you take this pack is over Korn's dead body. For all their planning, no one had actually said that out loud yet. Kim and his brothers had known that was what they meant, but they hadn't said it, as if naming it would be the thing that cemented their place in hell. Kim hated his father. Admitting that he planned to kill him shouldn't make his throat tighten. What was wrong with him?
We know, Kin said steadily, when Kim didn't respond.
For the first time in a while, Kim consciously locked parts of himself away. Specifically, the part that remembered the one day his father had taught him how to shoot, his strong hands covering Kim's own tiny ones. It was the same part that deserved to look at Che with pride and think about kissing him. That part had no place in this conversation. He made himself Kim-Han, because Kim-Han was built out of violence. Kim-Han didn't deserve Che at all, but he could say the next words with an emotionless drawl.
Wanna join us?
His callousness seemed to set Vegas at ease. All right.
Just like that? Ken demanded.
I told you. My pup texted me. Kim-Han did not have the ability to care about that. Instead, he made eye contact with his brother, in order to let it go. Ken did, like it caused him physical pain.
Fine.
Something you should know, Vegas said. My father is planning to make an assault on your family's compound. Lots of his men are actually my men. If you want an opportunity, that's your window. Kim-Han's tactical brain kicked into high gear.
When?
Soon.
Why tell us this? Ken said,
honestly shocked. It could have been your opportunity, too.
Pete is in that house. It softened Kin a little bit, because Kin was a romantic.
He offered a truth for a truth. I'm not holding him there. I told him he could go to you.
There are conditions, Vegas ground out, that he considers unmet. Kim's opinion of Pete, already higher than he liked, rose annoyingly.
Is helping us one of the conditions?
Vegas narrowed his eyes,
warning him not to push it.
I have a price. I become head of the Minor family, and no one kills my father in the fight.
Kim Han scoffed. So we're going to, what, ask him nicely not to retaliate when we steal his coup out from under him?
Vegas looked at them with defiant, conflicted pride. Pete wants to kill my father himself. And yes, that is one of the conditions. Apparently, Pete was right for Vegas after all. It wasn't a surprise. That kind of brutal love was the only kind that people like Kim Han and Vegas deserved. They were people who murdered a father who had once rested his hand on their shoulder and said warmly, "Well done, Kim Han."
"I agree to your terms," Kin said decisively. "Let's talk details."
As annoying as it had been to be banished like a kid from the adult table, Che didn't actually want to listen to his pack plan a battle. Because then he would have to think about the fact that every single person he loved would very soon be holding a gun and running into danger. They might not come back. And then Che would be left alone. Again. Thinking about that made a scream build in Che's throat, trapped there, unable to get out. Fortunately, he had a distraction buddy always ready for a phone call.
"My sweet little poor Che,"
Tenkun's voice said gleefully.
"You've escaped the clutches of my terrible cousin."
"Hi, Pikun. I don't know. Hia Vegas seemed nice to me."
"Yup. Honey, that is how he gets you. Trust me, Vegas is not someone to adopt. Not when you could be spending all your time with me, the superior choice in literally every way."
It turned out that Tenkun did not like Vegas because he had killed a lot of people in mean ways, and also had bitten someone named Pete without letting Pete bite him back. That all seemed a bit narrow-minded to Che, but he wasn't going to push it. "Anyway, I think I did a good job calming everyone down. Pretty sure they're actually talking now."
"Oh, if only I had a dozen of you. Think about what we could accomplish."
That led into discussing clone armies, until they realized their differences were irreconcilable. Che disapproved on ethical grounds, while Tenkun enjoyed the creepy factor. Che ended up lying in the grass, looking up at the sunlight filtered through the branches of the tree in their yard. "Hey, Pikun."
"Yes, sweetie?"
"Where are you guys going to send me? To wait?"
Tenkun's voice turned gentle.
"Kin is getting a place out of town, off the books and not connected to us. You'll stay there with some guards. It's really nice, close to the beach and everything."
That was about what Che had expected. He swallowed hard. "What about you?"
"I'll stay here. I'm always here."
"I thought you didn't fight."
Tenkun hummed.
"Well, I am the oldest, after all. Besides, There's fighting, and there's fighting, isn't there?
I wouldn't really know.
Of course you do. You fight for Kim all the time. God knows how you ended up falling in love with that gremlin to begin with, but I'm glad you did.
Me too.
I know it's hard to be the one waiting at home,
Tenkun said. There was a weariness to his voice that he usually disguised, but was letting Che hear now.
Trust me, I know. I'm sorry, sweet thing. I hope this will be your last time.
I love you too, you know, Che said impulsively. Tenkun went quiet for a long time. Che waited patiently, watching the branches sway.
When this is over, I am taking you out somewhere and buying you all the clothes your little heart could ever want,
Tenkun eventually said. Che heard what he meant. They hung up soon after, and Che waited. He waited when he heard the door open and close a few times, heard cars screech out of the driveway with what he considered unnecessary speed. He waited until the back door opened, and he smelled familiar crispness in the air. Kim settled beside him on the grass without a word. Che wiggled so he could put his head in his lap.
What? Wick coming to seduce me in my own backyard? Just like the Ask blogs always promised.
Kim looked down at him with a coldness that Che hadn't seen for a long time. He put his hands on Che's shoulders in a sharp, hard grip that was slightly too tight. Che felt electricity prickle through him.
Oh, okay. Not Wick.
The distance in Kim's eyes reminded him of the first few times they'd talked, how Kim built a protective wall around himself to keep everyone else out. Nowadays, he usually tucked Che behind that wall with him. Che twined his arms around Kim's neck and let Kim yank him upright into his lap.
Hi, Kim Han.
Kim gave him a wild look and lunged for his mouth. Kim was Kim, no matter what name he used, but right now he was kissing Che with a desperation that felt like it only belonged to this side of himself. Kim Han kissed Che like he was about to lose him, like it might be the last time.
Shh, hey, we're all right.
But Kim did not want to be soothed. He pulled Che into him, not in a sexy way, but as if someone was coming to rip them apart.
Kim, Che managed between biting kisses. Kim, it's okay. I'm here.
Abruptly, they were no longer kissing. Kim pulled away from him, but kept his arms locked around Che's waist. The mixed signal tugged at Che's heart. Kim's face was back to that blankness, like he'd never kissed anyone in his life and didn't care to.
I should send you away.
Che ran his hands up and down Kim's back, trying to ground him.
Pikun already talked to me about it. I know I can't stay here while you guys do this. It's just like before. The whole weak spot thing.
No, Kim said flatly. I mean, you shouldn't be with me at all.
Abruptly, that trapped scream feeling in his throat was back.
P-Kim.
I should make you want to leave me. I could do it. It's easy to make someone afraid of you.
Che fisted his hands in Kim's shirt.
Don't. Don't say stuff like that.
There. See?
Pikim,
Che said unsteadily, feeling his heart hammering in his chest.
Kim, what happened in that meeting?
Kim looked at him with cool detachment.
I spent hours plotting how to kill my own father and uncle.
Could you not come up with anything that would work?
Che tried to calm himself at the thought of a future with the shadow of Korn Thirupanyakul hanging over them.
Okay, but this is just the first conversation. Everyone in our pack is smart, and I'm pretty sure Pi-kun is some kind of mastermind. We'll figure out a way.
Kim just stared at him. That was not reassuring. Che tried to gather all his composure, but it was slipping through his fingers. He felt like he'd stepped into a nightmare.
I know what you're thinking, but this isn't one of Pi-kun's dramas. You don't have to break up with me to keep me safe from your evil dad. In fact, that would really not be keeping me safe, because if you tried to leave me for my own good...
He imagined it. No longer the exception to Kim's rules, pushed away like he was everyone else. He imagined a world where Kim's scent slowly faded from his sheets. He imagined himself alone. Again.
If you left, if you made me leave, I would...
Che lost control over his breathing, his words coming in desperate gasps.
I don't know what I would do, but it would be crazy. Unless you really meant it and you wanted to break up. You're not trapped. I'd never keep you if you didn't want me anymore.
That thought caused a few of the panic tears swimming in his eyes to escape and drop onto his cheeks. Kim let out a pained sound, like he'd been hurt. All the ice was melting out of him, leaving him looking stricken. He reached out and cupped Che's face in soft, warm hands, while Che stammered out,
"You can break up with me. You really can, but I don't want you to. Kim, please."
Kim's thumbs brushed away his tears, and he brought their foreheads together, familiar and comforting.
"Don't, Che, don't cry."
"Then stop saying stuff like this."
Kim's scent had turned comforting in a desperate sort of way.
"I'll stop. I won't do it again, I swear."
Che collapsed onto Kim's chest, shaking. He was clutching Kim so hard he might be ripping the boy's shirt. Kim curled around him, making himself a shield. And then he said something Che had never heard from him before.
"I'm sorry."
The words were gut-wrenchingly honest.
"We're not breaking up. I'm too selfish for that. I don't think I could let you go even if you told me to."
"Never tell you to."
Kim's low voice vibrated through them both.
"My family. Me. We're poison."
Che ignored that and focused on the important part.
"But you won't leave, right?"
"I won't."
"You're staying."
"I'm staying."
Che let out a gasp of relief and let himself go limp. He could face anything if he had Kim beside him, facing it with him. If Kim would stay with him, everything else was manageable. Kim maneuvered them both back down into the soft grass, and then set about scenting Che more thoroughly than he ever had before. He ran his hands over every part of him, through his hair, down his arms, all over his chest. It was reassurance, a promise that Kim had claimed Che and wasn't giving him up. Che lay still and let the hands he loved slowly put him back together. The sunlight filtered through the tree branches again, and he watched it and breathed.
"Sorry,"
Che offered eventually. Kim looked up from where he was industriously rubbing his scent into Che's jeans.
"Absolutely fucking not."
"Okay."
Che watched the clouds. After a few long minutes passed, he said,
You're not poison. You've never hurt me.
Kim's voice was a knife aimed at himself.
I literally just gave you a panic attack.
Yeah, but I forgive you.
Poor Che. You shouldn't.
Che picked up his head to glare.
You're not the boss of me. I'll forgive you if I want. Besides, I once had a panic attack over which type of rice to buy, so it's not like you were special.
Kim looked like he was torn between shouting and laughing.
You deserve so much better. You're a good person.
Che had to snort at that, rude and disbelieving.
I've hurt people for Porsche. I'd kill your father if I could. I'm not good, Kim. I'm just good to you.
Che made little grabby hands, because Kim was too far away, and Che wanted him. Kim moved closer obediently. Che pulled him down onto his chest, letting Kim's weight solidify the world back into a shape that made sense. Kim pressed his mouth into the hollow of Che's throat. His lips brushed the delicate skin when he spoke softly.
After Tenkun was rescued, there were about 3 years when my father was grooming me to be the heir.
Che couldn't stop a possessive little growl.
He said it was because I was the one who was most like him, Kim confessed into Che's skin. And the older we got, it became so obvious he was right. When I presented, all he could talk about was what a waste it was.
Che ran his fingers through Kim's hair and gripped it tightly, so Kim remembered where he was and who he was with.
Then I guess he doesn't know you very well.
What about your mother?
My mother. She...
Kim had obviously decided that his act of penance would be to tell Che about his past. He was clearly hating it. If Che had been the extraordinarily good person Kim thought he was, Che would have told Kim that he didn't have to answer. But Che only possessed normal goodness levels. He could still feel the tiny remnants of panic zinging through him, and, well, if Kim wanted a punishment, Che wasn't going to deny him this particular one. Kim whispered the words into Che's skin.
She sang a lot. That's what I remember.
Then it sounds like you take after her, not him.
Che ran his fingers through Kim's hair and said quietly,
Porsche says my mom was an artist. I bet she would have liked your music. I bet both of our moms would have liked it.
Kim buried his face into Che's chest, and neither of them spoke for a long, long time. Author's notes. Nothing to see here, just a little lad wrapping an entire mafia family around his finger.